Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to the Soccer Speakeasy.
I do love that intro. Not my intro, the musical intro, which was written by Kyle Robertson. And he's here in the Speakeasy on this Thursday, the 11th of April. Kyle Robertson's here. And of course, our fine crew beat writer, Brianna McKay, is here. She has been fined now for being 9 minutes late. That's $75 a minute, $675. We need a check before you leave. Tuesday night.
You've never paid like 150 fines that you have for your phone going off and all sorts of stuff throughout the years.
Yeah,
and the pen clicking.
I just try to create an atmosphere here for our loyal listeners, but thanks for pointing that out. Tuesday night, the crew 1-1 draw with Tigres outside of Monterey, actually, technically speaking. But the crew win on penalty kicks. Mm-hmm. It was an incredible night. I mean, if you watch him play the first half.
Well, the first 3 minutes was
great. Oh, my goodness.
Well, I mean, there was the Steve Clark moment there by Patrick Schulte in the third minute. Yeah. And then, you know, you watch him play the first half. They're down 2-1 on aggregate at the half after, you know, failing to take a lead into the second leg. You think they're done. The field was tilted. If not for a couple offside calls on Tigres, it could have been worse. And then... once again, we got a Wilfried Nancy masterclass coming out of halftime. The field tilted the other way, and Patrick Schulte atoned with some remarkable saves, including a couple of striking ones right at the top of.
The other one was in the first half too. The diving one on the 2-1-1.
Second half, I believe.
How did he get to that one?
It was insane. And all the stuff going on. Kyle, your comments on the game, because that was a night when you had that early concession on a horrific blunder by the goalkeeper.
Well, and then they
got CONCACAF. Yep. I mean,
Yaoyaboa, a foul on the.
It's
always on Yao. Yeah. I wonder if it's like players know that Yao's a player that it's like. He can do it.
Well, when he's down, they spiked his calf. Yeah. Somebody spiked his calf. No call. And they're in a hostile environment against one of the most powerful teams in Mexico, a team that's won this tournament just a couple years previous. It was incredible. It was a remarkable night.
Yeah, you knew what was going to happen. You knew the crew was going to get CONCACAF'd at some point. You know, multiple times. You know, I really thought that. The crew, how do you want to say this? They weren't the most physical team, you know, in the first half. They're kind of getting pushed around a little bit. And then I think they kind of let the ref kind of get to them a little bit. But the second half adjustments, bringing in Russell Rowe and then moving, you know, Rossi and Cucho out to the wings really kind of helped out. And you saw that in their goal where Cucho made that cut and, you know, passed it in.
I think Farsi dummied on that.
I think they got a little lucky. There were some chances in the second half, a couple really easy prime opportunities where they launched it over and a couple other stuff. I think all crew fans were watching in the second half saying, oh, here comes the goal, mm-hmm. you know, especially those corner kicks. But there was a good 10 minutes there in the second half where they were really defending and kind of holding. And then you just was hoping for something and you got it in the PKs.
Well, Brianna, how many PKs did you see?
Oh my goodness. I watched two games that go into penalty kicks and then I got home and watched the crew kick penalty kick.
Speaking of the She Believes Cup.
Yeah, the She Believes Cup, their third place match and the final between the United States and Canada went the penalty kicks and they actually just did penalty kicks like 35 days prior those two teams in the CONCACAF the Gold Cup. So a lot of penalty kicks, but no Patrick Schulte taking it like Alyssa Nair. Alyssa Nair is a goalkeeper who blocks them and takes them, which is crazy. But look, if you wanted everyone to forget that you sat your striker for two games for no still unknown reason, this is the game you have.
We should talk about that.
Yeah, and, no, definitely.
And that's next on my, I do host the show.
They did. They did it without Aiden Morris. Yep. I think that was something having Aiden on there. He's been such a facilitator this season. Honestly, behind Cucho, he has three assists, two goals on the season already. And he's been such a key, and he has that experience too. And the fact they did it without him or Zawatski either. Sean Zawatski's down with a concussion. So they did it without two really key players. Yep. That's for me something that I'm really impressed with.
True crime lovers are always looking for new and engaging content.
The Already Gone podcast covers stories from Michigan and the Great Lakes region. Cases you haven't heard before, like the Mayo Hunters or the murder of 16-year-old Justin Mello. Plus, better-known cases like the death of Jane Bishara and Illinois' own Lori Dan. Already Gone started in 2016, so there is a big back catalog for you to enjoy. Find Already Gone on Apple Podcasts, Good Pods, or your favorite podcatcher.
And Nagby was getting hammered all game, too. Man.
Well, that's what he did. Yeah, and that's what I think. 20 fouls, two yellows. God, yeah. How many yellows should there have been on T-Grays? They had 20 fouls.
Yeah, I mean, probably at least. You know, probably five or six.
And that was definitely a red card. Yeah.
The crew's been getting pushed around. Yeah. If you look at the three matches that they got red cards in, they were out-fouled like 60-something to 20-something. Yeah. It's like,
but they're not a physical team. They're not built to be physical.
Exactly.
No, they got to take it.
Yeah, there's not a lot of guys out there that can kind of.
And that's how teams kind of fight against them is to get physical. I said red card there. I misspoke. What I meant was that was definitely a foul in the box on Yeboah.
Yeah.
Should have been a kick.
Yeah.
CONCACAF. Well, let's expand.
That sets up a semifinals match.
Right. We'll get to that, Kyle. Thanks for asking.
It's your show, right?
Let's expand on the background. It's not my show. It's the people's show. I'm there for them. It's the public trust. The crew was 4-0-1 after their first five league games. Then came a 2-0 loss in Charlotte 3 weeks ago. And things seemed to teeter then. You had Cucho going off on the assistant coaches. On the sideline, injuries during that game. Cucho's suspension subsequently. Wilfried Nancy not saying why he suspended him, just said a violation of team policy. Let it linger. Didn't say how long the suspension was. When it's over, he says it was always going to be two games.
Right.
So he stuck to his, guns, if you will. He stuck to how he's going to do things. He sat Cucho for, the first leg of a CONCACAF Champions Cup quarterfinal series in Columbus. And that was a game when Aiden Morris takes a straight red and he deserved it.
Yep.
Cucho comes back in an MLS game and he takes a straight red.
Well, Aiden was two yellows.
Three
minutes apart.
I was thinking of Cucho's red.
Yeah, Cucho's red, goodness.
So there seems to be a lot roiling here, which, again, all of this made last night even more remarkable because the crew appeared vulnerable. They appeared kind of frayed. They were certainly off their heater that they were on in the beginning of the season. Injuries were mounting. And then the Cucho thing was national and then international news. Mm-hmm. It just seemed like things were kind of unraveling a little bit. Mm-hmm. At least a couple stitches are popping here. And, Nancy, to his credit, just steered through it. I mean, we'll see where they go next. But it makes all that perspective. They're obviously on the road. They're going right from Monterey to Real Salt Lake. Which is the most hilarious name in American soccer. And they'll play at Real Saturday night. Both teams are in third place in the respective divisions. Technically, the crew are tied for second. They're just in actually fourth place. on a technical side on differential. Real's 3-2-2, third in the West. Interesting game upcoming. Where do you have the Crew? You were on the Zooms after the no.
Okay. No, but I've seen. I didn't ask any questions myself, but I have heard their answers and everything.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Well, they were really happy.
Mm-hmm.
As well, they should be. And Nancy was almost triumphant and almost like, yep, I told you so.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you trust me yet? You know, I know what I'm doing, and you know what? He's right.
Yeah, you know what? We have the right to question him when he sits Kucha, but then he has the right to be joyous when he proves everyone like, yeah, I can get through it.
I was a little disappointed Saturday night. You know, we waited Kucha out in the locker room, did Brianna and I, and he stayed in the showers for a long time. There are no rules regarding post-game access in MLS, it appears, because if you're a coach, you can show up a half hour, 40 minutes after a game. And if you're a player, you can make it 2 hours. Anyway, unprofessional, in my opinion. He declined to say anything. He said, no, I'll talk after Tigres. I'm sorry. And that was it. So I don't know how much he spoke in Mexico, if at all. I don't know if he'll speak in Salt Lake City or Sandy, Utah. Yeah. I should, to be more specific. But we'll be talking to him as soon as they open up practice. You just want to hear a mea, yeah, culpa or something there.
Well, he did talk after the game. He spoke really just on the game. From everything I've seen, he didn't speak about anything but suspension wise. He spoke, it was all just questions about the game from what I'm seeing. And yeah, it's interesting that we haven't really gotten talked about that with him and everything. And
I don't think you're gonna hear anything from either of them.
Well, yeah, we can let it go now.
I mean, that's what happened to Nagby, right? Last year, he got suspended for a game and nothing really kind of came out from that, yeah, correct?
Well, you should just say, my bad, right, I deserved it, or yeah, whatever. You put it behind, yeah, you and you cease the speculation.
I think
it's poor PR to just not, right, say anything because it doesn't help you and it doesn't help us. Right. It doesn't help your fans.
I think it's interesting. He's the one who missed the penalty,
yeah,
kick. Like, you,
yeah,
have, who would have thought if you had to guess between him and Max Arfson, yeah, who's making the game-winning penalty kick. I don't think a lot of people, yeah, picking, yeah, Max last season.
And he subbed into that game and wound up taking
I have to say, he's really, yeah, him and Jason Russell Rowe have both been two players they had last season who played a little, not too much, and didn't have too much of an impact, and really started to get their own. I've heard a lot of them say that they had a good preseason. I heard that a lot before the season started, but you never really know what that means in terms of how it translates on the, yeah, field. And I have to say, they both have stepped up into bigger roles on this team so far this season.
Yep. You know, that game started with that 2015 MLS Cup flashback with Steve Clark. Yeah. And you know, the way it went in the second half, it ended kind of like the 2023 playoffs, mm-hmm, where they go on the road and, yep, with comeback wins in Orlando and Cincinnati. It was that, yep, caliber of impressive.
But you had everyone, too. I mean, you know, Will Sands, you know, makes an appearance, mm-hmm, in the second half and, you know, did well. And, you know, Matan, even his touch was a little off. But, you know, he got some stuff going, too, in the later half and into overtime. So
it's big to have him and Rudy, yeah, Cacho back. Having Rudy back, yeah, for these games is going to be big, because we say about the physicality, he's probably one of the more physical guys on the field for the Crew, and you kind of need that sized back. You're really missing that in Rudy when he's injured and everything. And I think also Diego is really stepping back after a really slow and very quiet start to the season. He's really stepped up in CONCACAF play.
He's got two goals in, yes, the past, one goal in, yep, each of the past, mm-hmm, in the quarterfinal.
He scored both the goals in, yep, regulation.
Okay. Next up in CONCACAF Champions Cup, the Crew advanced to the semifinal round. The dates are not cemented yet. I'm told that by Rob McBurnett of the Crew that it's likely that the dates won't be announced till Friday, tomorrow. There is stuff out there on the internet I saw where one outfit was saying flat out that it's going to be Tuesday, April 23, here at Cruz Stadium against Monterrey, and then Tuesday, April 30th at Monterrey. Mm-hmm. I've also seen the 24th mentioned. Wednesday.
They're technically a lower seed.
If you go to CONCACAF.com, they're not. No, the Crew is. It's based on
Goals. It's based off
the goals
from
the first,
the previous round.
Gotcha.
And I believe Monterey had.
They stomped on Miami.
Yeah. Yeah. So they definitely had. It was either four or five, I believe. The Crew only had two.
Yes. So. The second leg is in Monterey. The first leg's in Columbus. And the first leg will be either April 23, 24, or 25.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. And the second leg approximately a week later. So no rest for the weary, Brianna.
Nope.
With the Champions Cup play added, Crew had seven games in March. They'll have six in April. What's the state of the health of the team? You know, the coach preaches next man up sort of philosophy. He almost seems excited when somebody else gets an opportunity to be exposed even and learn from it. What is the state of health of the team? And do you perceive anything as to how that rotation will be handled?
I think it's been really interesting when you look at the rotation, because there's been all this talk, especially when you have like Aiden Morris not there, who's going to go in. And it's just, he's kept it pretty like predictable, I kind of want to say. Like, it was, the predictable option was to put Derek Jones in that spot, and that's what he's been doing. It seems like he really trusts the group that he puts on the field right now. I think we haven't gotten any specifics really how long Christian's injury is. It does seem worse than Rudy's. They got injured on the same day. Obviously, Rudy's back, but Christian does seem like he has a worse injury, and he's going. There's no timeline yet, so that always is a big loss.
Well, and they got players there too. Like, you don't. He's not needed. Like, they're not going to rush him back.
Exactly. You have Hinostroza has been another option. Nancy seems to really like at the forward position, and then Monton coming back is going to be big for them. I still know timeline on Sean's injury too. I think he's the biggest injury to look out for right now. And even Mo Farsi, he says his ankle isn't 100% about last week. He said that he's still like coming back to full strength too. Obviously he's playing, but he said it's still taking time to get back from that injury he had in the season opener against Atlanta.
And Yeboah has holes in his leg.
Oh, Yeboah. Yeah.
So
he really takes the hardest hits.
And
he pops right back up.
Yeah.
He really does.
So looking ahead, Real Salt Lake, in Sandy, Utah, Saturday.
I think it's interesting. They have a lot of, after that, it's a lot of home games. Right. That'd be good, very good for them, because you see how they perform
then
at Lower.com.
Against Portland on April 20th, as Brianna foreshadowed.
It'll be interesting to see how they set up the roster leading up to the semifinals. If they're going to, you know, I don't think they, Grace rest a bunch of guys on like this weekend to get ready for this game where the Crew kind of played everyone and, you know.
Yeah, I don't think I feel like Nancy's not really a guy who really rests players, and I think they've.
I'm just saying, now that you're in the semifinals, you might, you know, I think things might change a little bit.
Dealing with another powerhouse team.
Yeah.
I think they slowly bring Sean, and they don't rush Sean back. I think you want to have him fully ready for the semifinals. Right. So that might be a name you might not see until, depending on how long.
I let him rest as long as he needs to rest.
Yeah,
you
100.
Don't mess around with concussions. Mm-hmm. And that's what we presume it is, given.
It has been confirmed it was a concussion based on the MLS availability report last week. So
Real Salt Lake Saturday, and then home they get a week off.
Yeah,
I know.
And then home a week from Saturday against Portland, April 20th.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that would technically be right before the suppose of April 23rd,
then 25th. Then home against Monterey on the 23rd, 24th, or 25th. That'll be announced Friday. And then home against Montreal on the Saturday next on the 27th. And then at Monterey, maybe on the 30th or the 1st of May or the 2nd. So that's the way it looks. And if you go to the CONCACAF website, the Champions Cup portion of it, you'll see major stories right at the top on Club America, Pachuca, and Monterey. And scroll down. There's a slight mention of the Crew.
And they're the only MLS team still standing.
That's right.
It was historic. No team has ever gone into the second leg after not winning their first leg at home. No MLS team has done that and gone to a Liga MX team and advanced.
And no MLS team has ever beaten a Mexican team or closed the series out in Mexico on kicks.
Yeah.
So.
I just have to say, I don't see a way Schulte doesn't make the Olympic team at this point. After that performance, that's just just submit that as his resume. Cause I know it's a big goal of his. We've talked about it multiple times, but I don't think there's anything else he really has to do to make that Olympic team.
Well, I think it's also going to have the goalies. Yeah, we'll there's other goalies, and then you got to worry about the
Kyle's our goalkeeper. All right. Anything else to add, folks?
I think we're good.
I think I'm good on penalty kicks for a couple weeks.
Well, you won't have any on Saturday. I know. How about that? For Brianna McKay, our fine crew beat writer, please go to dispatch.com and check out all of her fine work. For Kyle Robertson, who's now management, so be careful what you say around him. But that is the striker. Behind the dials is, per usual, Patrick the Podfather Flaherty. I'm Mike Arias. Thank you for joining us. We'll talk to you again soon. Patrick, kick us out of here.
Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.